But if you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to move this out of the way. Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to point out one of the verses, or a couple of the verses that were read as part of the reading. How many of you guys, is Christmas your favorite time of the year? I don't know about you, it's my favorite time of the year because when I was a kid, we got gifts, but more of as an adult and as a Christian, just celebrate Jesus, and I'm just excited about Jesus. Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to point out, look at verse 8. I'm going to look at verse 8, a couple of verses there, and now this is going to be weird. I'm used to having my hands free, so... It's okay. Let me put the mics down for a second. Okay. All right. That's better. Okay, Luke 2, verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. And listen to what the angel said to them. The angel says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Christmas is about good news. Amen? I think we are in need of hearing good news. All the time we need the encouragement. But this is like the best news of all. God sends angels, and Jesus is born. And of course, he's not born before a lot of people. He's born sort of in obscurity in Bethlehem. No one knows this happening, but angels, they find some shepherds, the shepherds that are there in the shepherds' fields in Bethlehem, raising sheep that would be offered in the temple. And they find these shepherds, and they announce to them that there's good news. For I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all the people. For today in the city of David there is born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Then skip on to, I'll just keep reading here. Skip on down to verse 13. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Or as some translations say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." God is given glory by giving his Son. Why are we to give God? Why did they give God glory? Why was the angel saying, "Glory to God in the highest"? We have come to announce you the birth of a Savior. We give God glory, and we rejoice in the fact that God has given us a Savior. A Savior is born, as he says, as the angel says, "For today in the city of David," verse 11, "there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Matthew says that you will bear a son, Mary. She will bear a son, he's talking to Matthew rather, "and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Ever since the fall of man, we have been weighed down with sin. This world is weighed down with sin. Our lives were weighed down with sin. Some of us, we have a past, right? And before we came to Christ, our past was really, really bad, and we had no way out. Some people right now are stuck in sin, and you feel the weight of that sin, and there's no way out. You have tried to change, but you can't change. And our future was weighed down with sin. Paul talks about how that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've sinned, yet God sends a Savior. I don't know about you, but I think that's good news. Amen? There is the inescapable fact that, of course, we were born of a corrupt nature. We were born children of wrath. Sin has made us selfishly ambitious, as Paul says. We don't like to admit it, The problem nowadays is that we like to think that we're better than what we really are. Come on, we've advanced ourselves with technology. We have improved ourselves, but the reality is that we are all born with a corrupt, sinful nature and in need of redemption from God. There's the fact that none of us can atone for our sins. Isaiah says that all of us have become like unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. And there was no one to stand in our place. No one can stand in our place. We were guilty, powerless, and weak. But God sent a Savior. He says, rejoice, because today a Savior has been born. You think your life is hopeless, but since Jesus Christ came to this earth, there's hope. There's always hope because Jesus Christ was sent. There's no place, no person, no circumstance where it's completely hopeless, because Jesus Christ not only was born as a child, he lived as a perfect man, he died on the cross, and 3 days later, he rose again. There is victory in Jesus. So we rejoice because Jesus Christ is born as our Savior. God sent a Savior to save you and me. You and me. Not just the person who bugs you or the uncle so-and-so that annoys you, but you and me need a Savior. And why do we rejoice? Because we have one. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. Right? Till what happened? Till he appeared. And the soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope, the weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. That song gives me chills. Right now, I'm just feeling chills. Just saying the words. Why? Because I was weary and sin and error pine. That's me. That's you. Until Jesus Christ came. God is most glorified in saving you and I from our deepest sin. It's the angels of heaven. They need no saving. They say glory to God in the highest. They've seen God face to face. Why is God glorified in the highest? Because he rescued you from the depths of hell and sin in the grave. He rescued you and I from eternal damnation. This is a time to rejoice. Amen. I don't care if you have no gifts underneath your tree. There was already a gift that was given for you that keeps on giving every single day, right? Who's looking forward to seeing Jesus in heaven? Who's not, right? We'll talk afterwards, right? I'm looking forward to seeing friends and loved ones and people. But of course, Jesus, right? Our Lord, to look on his face and to behold him, the Son of God who would take on flesh. And if you were the only one, he would do the same thing all over again. God justifies those who believe in Christ. It's all about placing your faith in Jesus. It's not trying to redo what he did. That was impossible. It's about saying, yes, Lord, I receive that. I receive that gift. I mean, how many guys, when you're growing up, or maybe even now, there's gifts underneath the tree, and you're like, I can't wait to open. Is that one for me? And you can't wait to open up that one gift, right? And Jesus is that one gift. How many guys, when you do Christmas exchanges, it's like, you always say it, like when we get to our kids, we save the better gifts to the last ones, you know? Give them the little, you know, and then save the big, you know, whatever it is. It could be. God has given us his gift in his Son. He has given us Jesus Christ, who would take our place, Jesus Christ, who would take on himself our sin and give to us his righteousness. Now think about that. Some of us are stuck in our past because of our sinfulness in our past. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, Jesus says, and Paul says, behold, I make all things new. He made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, right? And there's this great exchange. He takes our sin. He never said anything bad. He never hurt one person, yet He gets the punishment for it, and he gives us his righteousness. No wonder the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest." Who but God would think of this wonderful idea? If I were God, I would say, "Hey, work for it," right? But this is a free gift. God gets glorified because he has rescued even the worst of us. Even the worst. And you say, "Well, I'm the exception." No, you're not, because I'm standing there with you. And Jesus Christ died for you as well. He wasn't just born to be born and us celebrate a baby that's sustained there. He lived. He grew up. He's a man, right? He's God's gift. Amen. Let's praise God. Let's give glory to God for sending such a Savior. The angels, behold the angels. They say, "Glory to, hey, we bring you good news of great joy." You see the excitement they have? Can you sense that excitement? We bring you good news. Who's not excited? I'm excited. I don't know about you. I'm excited. We are excited for you guys. Here's the angels. They don't need the salvation, do they? But they're thrilled, aren't they? You hear it. Good news of great joy, which is for all the people. A Savior is born, even for you. Let's not let the angels celebrate more than us, right? They're celebrating because they're seeing the good God, the good, wonderful God and loving God do some wonderful salvation work to sinners, and the angels are watching and seeing that. And those of us who are being rescued, we're saying, "Lord, help, Lord, save me." And he reaches out his hand and he grabs us. If you say, "Lord, save me," he'll save you. All right? All who call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. Oh, let us not let the angels outdo us with praising and giving glory to God. Let's not them outdo our praise to God. Secondly, real fast, we give glory to God because he has kept his word. He's kept his promises. You know how it is. You wonder, "God, what's going on? What's the delay?" But God has kept his word. Ever since Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve fell, he says, "Listen, serpent, there's going to come one born of a woman, seed of a woman, who's going to crush your head." And that's a long time ago. And there's been that hope. Man sinned, but God made his promise. "I'm going to do something about it," right? Time seemed to delay. Years came and by, went and gone. Obstacles along the way. Sometimes God, you know, one of the biggest commandments in the scripture is this: wait on the Lord. Wait. How many of you guys have had to wait on the Lord before? How many of you guys hate waiting, period? Who doesn't like that? We hate waiting. So who likes to wait? You're a liar. You don't like. I'm kidding. But why does God delay sometimes? I think God delays to sort of purify our faith. I think he delays to help us to realize that unless he comes through, and we'll exhaust, we'll try to help him out, we'll try to move things along. And he says, no, wait. And then when we've been waiting and he comes at that last minute and we didn't see it coming, guess what happens? We appreciate him all the more, don't we? We say, "Lord, I tried to get myself out of this. I tried to force your hand, but you kept on delaying. But when you came," and the scripture says that Jesus Christ was born at the perfect time, right? God sent his son at that perfect time. And in our lives, sometimes those of us who became Christian, or maybe there's people who are not here who are not Christian yet, God's calling you right now to know him. But he saves you and he leads you and he calls you at that perfect time. Or he answers that prayer in that perfect time. Why? So that you recognize that it was God doing it, not you. It was God who would be glorified. We give God glory because he has kept his word. Some of us ask, "Will God be faithful? Will God keep his word?" Delays provide greater anticipation, greater appreciation. And along in Scripture, God sent holy men. He sent prophets to point the way, to prepare the hearts. And all pointed to Christ. All the Scripture in the Old Testament pointed to Christ. No wonder when the shepherds came and they wanted to find out, they went, where am I at? Luke 2. Are you guys in Luke 2 still? Or am I? We're still in Luke 2. Watch this. Look what happens. Look at this. In Luke 2. Oh, boy. Look at verse 15. It happened that the angels went away from them into heaven. The shepherds kept saying to one another, let us go to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went in a what? In a hurry. They didn't delay. They heard the good news because God came through at the right time, and they quickly did something with it. They didn't say, oh, you know, that's nice, you know, that's all good and all. Hey, you know. No, there's no delay. There's a response. God's answer has come. Sometimes we miss it, but God sent his son keeping his word. Isaiah and the prophets saw it. We saw this last week. He says, for a child has been born to us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And Micah, who is a contemporary of Isaiah, he says, but as for you at Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, for from you one will go forth from me to be a ruler in Israel. His going forths are from long ago. No wonder when John the Baptist was sent, he was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. They said, who are you? He goes, I am just a voice crying in the wilderness. I love the song. Did we sing Joy to the World today? We did. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. I just love the joy. Let no more sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. And then it says, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove. This is a reason to give God glory because he has kept his word in sending a Savior. But thirdly, I'm going to finish with this. Is that we give God glory in the highest because he makes peace with men. He says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased, or peace and goodwill towards men. You know that mankind is at war with God, has been at war with God. Ever since the fall, we have said, God, forget you. We'll live our life our way. And even today, there are people who have heard the gospel and you're still doing this, saying, God, forget you. I'll do it my way. And God says, I sent my son to make peace with you. And you have strife and hostility in your life. You have no peace in your life because you don't have Jesus Christ in your life. And you want to blame the president. You want to blame every other person. But the real problem is that you have sinned against God and you have rejected his offer of peace. He gave you his son. God wants to have peace with you. How many of you guys like to be at hostility with people? Good, no one raised their hand. I hate fighting. I don't want to be at odds, but by nature, when we sin, we are at odds with God. Mankind has been at war with God and with itself. I think it's wonderful that we offended God, yet he makes the steps for peace. Right? God took the first steps. Romans 5 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means Christ died for you as well. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased. Or peace to men, goodwill toward men. God speaks peace to those who are at odds with them. He says in Isaiah, comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Jesus Christ came to bring peace. He came to bring peace between you and God. That's a gift. And you don't have to work for it. You just have to receive it. I don't want to be at odds with God. And he came to also give you his peace, right? My peace I give to you, Jesus says. He gives his peace to believers. In his presence, there's fullness of joy and there's peace. That's a gift from God. No wonder when Jesus would come into Jerusalem years later, riding on a donkey, they said, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes, is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." God is glorified because he has sent a Savior, right? God is glorified because he has kept his word. And God is glorified because he has made peace with mankind. Let's give God glory for the peace that he brings. I love the words of the song, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." Their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolling along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. "There is no peace on earth," I said, "for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. "God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Are you at peace with God? Do you have God's peace? Have you received his wonderful gift? Can you stand with the angels and say, "Yes, glory to God in the highest. Yes, yes, I am going to rejoice in this wonderful gift. Yes, I receive this wonderful gift. I'm going to tell others about the joy that I have that is heaven-given, not man-given, because God has done something. He has rescued me from the pit of hell. He has given me a new life." Yes, life doesn't always go according to what we want, but Jesus Christ says, "I will be with you. I am the Prince of Peace," right? And in the end, we will see him face to face. And may it be that we say, "Lord, glory to you all the more. You deserve all the glory because you came and stood in my place. You took on flesh when you didn't have to. You walked with sinful people. You gave me light. You gave me direction. You gave me life. I was blind and now I see. I was lost and you found me. I was that wandering sheep and you left the 99 to search after the one. I give you glory, God, because it's all you. It's all you. It's all you." Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up right now. Let's give God praise. Let's say thank you, Lord. And then let's do this. Let's sing the classic song, "Silent Night," right? "Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright." I love this. And he says, "Sleep in heavenly peace." I love that. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the way, the truth, the life, the word of God, the bread of life, the great I am, the friend that sticks closer to their brother, the faithful one, the risen Savior, our glorious Lord. Let us, Lord, fill our mouths with joy and appreciation and thank you for what you have done for us. Amen.